व्यवस्थापकाय च धर्मस्य सर्वधर्मस्वरूपिणे अवतारवरिष्ठाय रामकृष्णाय ते नमः. ऐ सेल्यूट श्री रामकृष्ण हु इज दि एस्टैब्लिशर ऑफ दि इटर्नल रिलिजन हु इज दि एम्बॉडीमेंट ऑफ ऑल रिलिजन्स who is the most appropriate incarnation of God for this age. So this stanza in Sanskrit was composed out of the inspiration of Swami Vivekananda. Yesterday we were talking about this. Swami Vivekananda went to a devotee's house. He inaugurated a prayer hall in their house. As he saluted Sri Ramakrishna, and was getting up, this mantra, this stanza, it came out of inspiration from his heart, in which he sang that, O Sri Ramakrishna, you have established the religion. The religion means there is the central religion which is common to all religions. Swami Vivekananda spoke about this one. When he spoke out Vedanta, he never thought of Hinduism or any particular ism. He said, there is a desire in man to become divine. And that desire of manifestation of the divinity already inside man is real religion. So he spoke about religion as a common desire in every human heart. When the human heart is dissatisfied with all the ephemeral joys of this world, it hankers after permanent joy, eternal joy. And eternal joy can be found not in this world, which itself is ephemeral. Therefore, the very base is ephemeral. You cannot get anything permanent in this universe, manifested universe. So you have to turn your mind back and find infinite joy, infinite life, infinite knowledge, infinite power. Everything that is infinite is inside the Atman, inside ourselves, not outside. So this was Swami Vivekananda's later on exposition of Vedanta. So this mantra, first it addresses Sri Ramakrishna as the one who established this fundamental religion, which is common to all the religions. It is on this basis only we call Sri Ramakrishna as the harmonizer of all religions. He went into the fundamentals. So in fundamentals, all are same. In manifestation, they may be different. In suppose we go to the qualities or the properties of electricity, few properties are there. The negative and the positive poles of that one, and the current flows through a circuit. So if you connect the circuit, you will get the current. If you disconnect, you will not get the current. These are few characteristics of electricity. But when we apply it, so there are bulbs are there, fans are there, refrigerators are there. One heats, one cools, but the same electricity. So manifestations may be million. When you go to the root of it, it's only a few principles that are there. Sri Ramakrishna went into the principles that underlie all the religions. And that is how, when he would speak about these principles behind all religions. Everyone would be attracted. Sri Ramakrishna himself used to say, whenever Vaishnavas come to me and I speak to them about Vaishnavism, they think I am a Vaishnava. When Shaivas used to come, he would talk about these principles only. But the Shaivas would think, oh, he is a Shaiva like ourselves. Similarly, Shaktas, similarly, Tantrikas, similarly, Mohammedans, similarly, Christians, whoever would go to him, he would talk about the basic tenets, basic principles underlying all religion. So everybody would be attracted. This man seems to be so liberal. He has gone deep into religion because at the depth of every religion, these tenets are there. So Sri Ramakrishna enunciated this fundamental unity of all religions. He first said, the religion consists in realization. It is not in books. It is not in books, not in discourses, not in believing some dogmas or doctrines. You have to realize you can enjoy. The taste of the pudding is in the eating. So you must know religion, know God. So he was the first man in the modern age who said religion is realization, which became the central theme of Swami Vivekananda. Vivekananda, all through the West as well as in the East, always talked about religion is not in books, your doctrines or dogmas or books or rituals or temples or forms. They are in realization, in manifestation of the divinity. Already that is inside you. All this are the fundamental teachings of Sri Ramakrishna. So he enunciated the fundamentals of all religion as three things are to be known in religion or philosophy. Philosophy and religion are not two different things in India. In India, the philosophy gets its spirituality from religion. Religion gets its rationality from philosophy. So like this in India, the philosophies, the six systems of philosophy, the Nyaya and Vaisheshika, Yoga, Sankhya, and Purvamimamsa, Uttaramimamsa. Six systems of philosophy are there. Right? Some thousands of years they have developed these philosophies. Six systems. The last one is the philosophy of the Uttaramimamsa or Vedanta. Vedanta is the culmination. They take all the positive elements from the previous philosophies and they add something. So in a way, the last and the perfected philosophy is Vedanta. But all philosophy are there existing even today. So these philosophies, they never contradict religion. Religion and philosophy are not loggerheads. That unhappy history was not there in India. But the Western history went in a different way. So the philosophy and the religion got separated. That was because the religion would not allow any reason to get into it. Vivekananda said, why should you not allow reason to get into religion? Religion is also, if it is a realization of some existing truth, God is a truth, our divine self is a truth, and the universe is a true thing, and there are laws by which this universe evolves and involves. It is all true, just as science. So if science can be demonstrated by actual experience, why not religion also? Swamiji said, earlier it is done, the better. You can apply reason to religion also. He was so bold. So because in India that path has been tread, be reasonable. Go on reasoning about even things in the religion. Suppose you have to discard something, then throw it out. It is not worth keeping it. So, like discarding all the unnecessary things, so we come to the fundamentals of religion, which cannot be discarded. That is how the religion stood on a very firm basis of Vedanta in India. Sri Ramakrishna took to this Vedanta. So, how we practice the different religions is a great story by itself. If you see that one, he doesn't float on the surface. He goes deep. First of all, he takes up the worship of Kali. See, he was born in a real village, all of you know, Kamarpukur. So in the village, he had imbibed all the religious tenets through the stories of Puranas that were enacted as dramas. And through the words of pandits, they would argue and they would different aspects of the philosophy. This young boy would listen. So he had absorbed all that. So when he came over to Calcutta as a priest of the Kali temple in Dakshineshwar, he had a background of what was all there. And he wanted to realize, simply, hearing won't do. He had heard about God is there. God is the creator of this universe and all of us are God's children. Therefore, we have divinity in us. It was a very simple fact for Sri Ramakrishna. He didn't have to argue whether man is a sinner or whether man is divine. We are children of God. Therefore, we must be like God only. A young one of a cat will be like young one of a cat. Young one of a hair will be like a young one of a hair. We are the children of God, young ones of God. We should be like God. So what is God's quality? Sri Ramakrishna's God was very rational. He always used to say, God is infinite life. He is infinite knowledge. And he is infinite bliss. Whatever you call as having infinite joy, infinite life, infinite knowledge, that is God for him. So whenever he says, you realize God, what he means is, you realize this infinite life that is already inside you. We are children of God means we are like God. If God is, has got infinite life, that means immortal. He never dies. That is infinite life. He was never born. He never dies. He is eternally there. We are also eternally there. But we don't know it. We don't know it does not mean that does not exist. It is Sri Ramakrishna's very first examples. You read in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. He gives a wonderful example. During daytime, you don't see the stars. Do you conclude that there are no stars? Only wait for 6 hours or 8 hours. It's from 12 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the evening. Now at 4 o'clock itself, you can see the sky full of stars. That you could not see, that you could easily, rationally say, it does not exist because I don't see. But that is not true. You may not see for many reasons. Your eyes may be obstructed. Your eyes may be defective. There may be something which is between you and the object. So many other reasons may be there. Just because you don't see through your senses, you cannot conclude as a man of science that it is not there. This was a great message. In the morning you don't see the star. In the evening you see it. So what is the difference? Morning there was something obstructing. The powerful rays of the sun. It was the obstruction. When the rays of sun were withdrawn after sunset, you could see the stars. Similarly, an ignorance veils our knowledge. We are not able to see the fact, see the reality of God within ourselves and everywhere. Because a veil of ignorance is between us and God. Therefore, we are not able to see. See how rational. Once he was talking to all the devotees. Then suddenly he took out his towel. He used to have a small towel with him. Sometimes you see on his shoulder in the main photograph, he is having the towel on his shoulders. That small towel he held between him and the audience. Audience are sitting in front on the floor. He is sitting on the cot. He is holding the towel. Are you able to see me? They said, no, sir. Why are you not able to see? I am so near you. Sir, there is something obstructing. This is how you are not able to see God. God is in your own heart. And you are not able to see him. How is it possible? Just it is possible as it is now. I am just in front of you. But you are unable to see me. Because of this curtain between us. Your eyes are obstructed by this curtain. So the eyes are unable to pierce through the curtain. Either the curtain must be taken off. Or it should be pierced. Make a hole big in that one. And you can see. These are the only two things you can do. So Sri Ramakrishna said, God is in our own heart. How do you say? All the great people who have realized God, they have said God is not in the heaven. He is the soul of your own soul. What I call as my soul, I. This is the soul of me. It is the soul that says I. So this is the soul of our soul. He is the one who manifests as our I. There is no different eyes. It is only one eye, the eye of God. The supreme soul. And we are all individual souls. We are like reflections in the different egos we have. She has an ego, he has an ego. I have an ego. That ego is like a small mirror. Sun is only one. It is reflected in thousands of mirrors. Each one think I have a separate sun. You don't have a separate sun. You get a reflection. Then when the mirror goes, the sun also goes from your heart. But sun does not disappear. You will have the sun in the real sun. Now you are having the holding on to the reflected sun. Then we hold on to the real sun. So Sri Ramakrishna gave this example. What is it that obstructs us from seeing God who is in our own heart? Ishvara sarva bhuta nam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. பிராமயன் சர்வபூதானி யந்திராரூடானி மாயையா. இன் பகவத்கீதா காட் சேஸ் த லாஸ்ட் சாப்டர், காட் இஸ் சிட்டிங் இன் தி ஹார்ட் ஆஃப் எவ்ரி ஒன், ஹீ இஸ் மேக்கிங் எவ்ரி ஒன் ஆக்ட் அக்கார்டிங் டு தெர் ஓன் கர்மா, சிட்டிங் இன்சைட் தெர் ஓன் ஹார்ட். ஹீ கிரியேட்ஸ் டிசைர்ஸ் அண்ட் ஹீ கிரியேட்ஸ் ஹேட்ரட் அண்ட் லவ். டூ வேஸ் பி எக்ஸ்பிரஸ் அவர் டிசைர், ஐதர் வி லவ் ஆர் அதர் பி ஹேட். லவ் அண்ட் ஹேட் ஆர் த டூ ஃபார்ம்ஸ் ஆஃப் தி சேம் லவ். இட் எக்ஸ்பிரஸஸ் வென் லவ் இஸ் அப்ஸ்ட்ரக்டட் இட் பிகம்ஸ் ஆங்கர் அண்ட் ஆங்கர் பிகம்ஸ் ஹேட்ரட். ஸோ காம குரோத ததா லோபா. ஸோ வென் காமா இஸ் அப்ஸ்ட்ரக்டட், டிசைர் அப்ஸ்ட்ரக்டட், இட் பிகம்ஸ் குரோத ஆங்கர் அண்ட் தென் ஆங்கர் தென் லோபா. திஸ் ஆங்கர் வில் லீட் டு டிஃப்ரெண்ட் டைப்ஸ் ஆஃப் அதர் ஃபீலிங்ஸ். ஸோ தி desire that is there inside us to see God. See, this desire is common to everybody. So God is there in our own heart to see Him, to know that He is our own, we are His. This is the real purpose of religion. So what is the nature of this God? Sri Ramakrishna never called God as Krishna alone or Rama alone or Buddha alone. He called God as that which is of the nature of infinite knowledge, infinite joy, and infinite life. Why did he say this one? This is there in every one of us. Just let us see our own lives. What are we struggling for in our life? We are struggling only for these three. We are struggling for long life. We are struggling for a removal of ignorance and knowledge. Number three is, we want to be happy. Or we want to love, we want to be happy. Love is nothing but giving happiness to others. This is love. Expression of happiness is in the form of love. So, we want to love and be loved. We want to remove our ignorance and thus become fearless through knowledge. And we want to live long, long, long. How long? Put this question. Nobody will be able to answer. At least I have not got any precise answer from anybody. From the young child to the old. They cannot say. Somebody says, why Swami, all our life we want to be. We want to live our full life. How long is your full life? Nobody knows. My life, how long will I be? Now I'm 85 plus. I don't know. Maybe another one plus more. Only one plus may be there. Maybe another 20 plus also may be there. Go and ask somebody. Usually we say 100 years. Full 100 years. But there are people who live beyond 100 also. Those that have completed 100 years, go and tell them, sir, you have lived your life. Would you like to go away? Then you will see the reaction. Keep yourself away. The reaction will be very violent. Why? You see, if he lives 100, then he feels we want to live more. And then suppose he lives to 110 also. There are people who have lived up to 110. They are also not willing to go away. The real nature is, we want to live long means we do not know the definition ourselves. But Sri Ramakrishna says, each one wants to live eternally. Nobody wants to die. Dying means becoming zero. So nobody wants to become zero. We cannot imagine, because we are souls. Whatever is in our experience only, we can imagine, we can conceive. When there is no experience at all, you cannot conceive anything. You ask a person to think about infinity. He says, how do you ask me to conceive infinity? Can you give me an example? Very difficult. One professor told me, Swami, I was in a difficulty like this. One day I was talking about infinity in mathematics. So one boy suddenly got up and said, sir, you are talking about infinity. Can you give us an example of infinity? We don't have anything to conceive of infinity. But this professor said, somehow or other, God gave me some common sense. Suddenly something struck. I asked that boy, come, stretch your hand, this professor said. So the young man stretched his hand. What is there on your palm? He asked. Nothing. No. The space is there on your hand. Where is the end of space? Infinite space above, infinite space below, infinite space in front, infinite space behind, infinite space right. You are holding infinite space on your palm. Only you are not aware. We are not going to become sensitive. We are in infinity. We are not sensitive to it. This boy, he says, he was thrilled. Sir, I never thought about it. So many things are there. The real teachers, when they teach, they make us aware, turn our mind and make it subtle. We'll be able to think so many truths. Sri Ramakrishna turns our mind. God is that which gives you infinite life. How does, by knowing God, you will become infinite? Because you and God are that different. It is only God's reflection. You and God are the same. When we go deep into ourselves, we feel that God is not different from us and we are not different from God. God is infinite life. I am also infinite life. Every mystic, every rishi, every sage had felt this. I am immortal. Vedahametam purusham mahantam aditya varnam tamasap parastat. I know myself as this immortal self. The Vedic rishi says. Jesus also says, I and my Father are one. That means what? Father is eternal, I am also eternal. So all of us, we realize this truth, which is already inside. So Sri Ramakrishna says, this is real religion. Religion is to know that you are part and parcel of that which is infinite life, infinite knowledge, and infinite joy. We want that. We are struggling only for that. Long life, long life, long life. What we want is, we want to become eternal. We want to become immortal. We don't want death at all to come to us. It is possible, Sri Ramakrishna says. It is possible, but not in this body. In your real nature, when you know, you are infinity. You have no death at all, because you had no birth at all. Birth is one end and death is the other. Wherever there is birth, there must be the death. You were never born as a soul. So that is how he says, all the great mystics have said, the soul has existed before this body. Soul is going to exist beyond this body also. It has been ever existing in God. Only we have to realize this truth. And similarly, we have got all the knowledge in us. When we read Swami Vivekananda, especially when the educationists read, they are simply astounded with the theory of Swami Vivekananda. In education, we don't teach anything new. We discover that is already there. The soul has got all knowledge in it. Every one of us know everything in this universe. I know, in a way, it is there deeply buried inside me, in my unconscious. It is there, what is happening in the stellar heaven, in all the different galaxies, what is happening? What is happening in the heavens? What is happening in the kingdom of God? Everything is there. Every one of us know. Only way to get deep into our subconscious, unconscious, unearth it. Unearthing is discovery. It is already there. Why? How is it there? Read the scriptures in Indian Vedas. How did the creation come? The rishis have seen it in an intuitive way. They say, God thought, let me become many. God alone is there. Ekamevadvayam Brahma. Only one infinite existence is there. Eternally existing. Suddenly, it is not a sort of a material energy. It is a conscious energy. God is a conscious being. This consciousness is a wonderful thing. Till today, the science is grappling with it. What it is, nobody knows. We are grappling with life. But life is only a secondary product of consciousness. It is from consciousness the life comes. We say, a man is living. When? When he says, I. When his eye disappears from him. All the senses are there, ears are there, his tongue is there. Nothing can work. Life disappears. Life is a byproduct of consciousness. This consciousness is there inside man, in the heart of man. For some reason it leaves and goes away to some other center. So this body is dead as dodo. It is a dead wood. Nothing is there. So what was this life then? Life was a secondary product of that existence, that consciousness that was there. So Sri Ramakrishna says, this infinite consciousness is our nature. This infinite knowledge, it is this infinite consciousness as the creator. It thought Let me become many. Yekoham bahusyam. It is in the Vedas. One rishi has experienced this truth. He says, God thought. So let me, I am only one. Let me become many. Why should we think like that? But he is immersed in infinite joy. He can think anything. He is a conscious being. We ourselves think like that. Many fantastic ideas come to us. There is no reason for that. You are alone in your house. Where you think it is a very fortunate day when all the people have left you in the home. Somebody has gone to see some circus. Somebody else has gone for some adventure. You say, at least somewhere, once in a year, I get such an opportunity, I will not go out at all. Let me enjoy my silence. You sit yourself in your room. You will enjoy that. You are alone. But what is that enjoyment that comes to you? That silence inside you, so many ideas come, which could never have come otherwise. So many fantastic ideas come. As if, you know, you are sitting on the shores of a sea. You are seeing an infinite sea, infinite sky above. And calm, as any calmness can be there. All these big ideas come in from inside you. So God is also like that. You have never felt that joy. For the whole year, you are always buzzing, hari-bari. You never have thought that you have got so much of deep thinking inside you. Thinking deeply about yourself, you feel the joy of silence. Joy of being one with the infinite ocean, infinite sky. That comes for a few minutes. Like that infinite Lord. He is a joyful being. Suddenly thought, let me appear as many. But God is only one. How can he appear as many? There must be something else. To make anything, you require like a potter making pots. So first potter must be there. There must be clay must be there. And then instruments must be there. Then only you can get pots. So God has no clay other than himself. So he has no instruments other than himself. He is the only one existent. That's what all the Vedas say. All the scriptures say. God alone is reality. Ultimate reality is one. There is no second. If there is no second at all, how can this manifold universe come? How do we explain this? This is what we call the riddle of creation. We are many and we are one also simultaneously. God is only one. It is there in our scriptures. It is true. All the great people, right from the Advaita Shankaracharya, right up to Ramanuja Madhva, everybody says God is the ultimate reality. But then how do you explain this world of many? You cannot say it is not existing. We are also existing. All of us feel we are. Any one of us at any time feel, I am not. Nobody feels like that. Not even in your dream. No child also says, I am not. Sometimes we used to make fun, hey, you are not there. Ah, I am there. You see, this philosopher, he does not know what he is asserting. Hey, you are not there. Then, ah, I am there. He will go on asserting. We cannot think that we are not there. Because we are eternal existence, part of eternal existence. But we are also existing many, manifold universe. God is only one, according to Vedas. Many and the one, how will you combine this? This is where philosophy comes. And philosophy says, you see, as long as you believe that we are true, this world is true, all my different efforts in this world, to be happy, to be joyful, to make others joyful, it is all true. When we believe that it is true, you cannot say that God is only one. You should say that God has something in him. Out of that power, he creates this whole universe. Just like a magician creates a magic. When the magician creates a magic, magicians become, they will not become magic. We know that there is only one magician. He is the only true person. But we see many things also. Swamiji himself quotes, he went to a magician. He grew trees in front of them, took out the fruits, cut the fruits and gave them to eat. They were all afraid to eat. He himself ate a few and gave to a few pieces to them. They all ate. Most delicious fruits were there. Swamiji's reminiscences are there. In Detroit, he is telling this. You see, a magician is true, we know. But his magic is not true, though it appears as true. Like this, inscrutable, just the magician and his power. God has got a power. This power is called Brahma Shakti. A supreme God is called Brahman. Brahma has got a inscrutable Shakti. What it is, whether it is true, whether it is false, you cannot say. Sanna pyasanna ubayatnikano. It is true, you cannot say. If it is true, then there will be two truths. One is God and one is that Shakti. That is not allowed by the Shastra. Experience of the rishis is only one reality. Brahman is there. So it is not true. Is it false? If it is false, means we should all feel we are false. But we all feel we are true. So it is neither false nor true. Then what is it? Ubhayatmikano. It can't be explained. In the end, he says, Mahadbhuta anirvachaniya rupa. Shankara says, it is the inscrutable power of God by which he creates this whole universe. All of us feel we are all true. So we have all come from God. This God, who is the origin of the whole universe, right from starting from the highest God, Brahma, right up to the lowest stones, all creation has come from one God. This God is called the Brahman with Shakti. This is called Saguna Brahma. Guna is the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. So this is called the nature. In philosophy, varieties of nomenclatures are given to this nature. One is, this nature is Triguna Atmika. Three gunas are there. Guna is a very, very subtle force, the very subtle form of matter. So this Triguna Atmika, the guna means it is the nature. So this nature, inscrutable power, is in Brahman, from which he brings out this whole universe, sustains the whole universe. It goes back into that Saguna Brahman. The Brahman, supposed to be the originator of this creation, he is called the Saguna Brahman. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, what you call as Brahman, I call as Shakti. The Shakti is that Saguna Brahma. God with the power to create, with the power to sustain, with the power to withdraw the whole creation into himself. This God with the power of creation, etc., he is called Saguna Brahma, which Sri Ramakrishna called as Kali. Kali, Durga, any name, Lakshmi, all are the name for the Shakti. So the Shakti is inscrutable. Whether it is or is not, you cannot say. Whether it is one with Brahman or separate from Brahman, you cannot say. But these two are always there together. You cannot separate this Shakti from Brahman. Just as Sri Ramakrishna's example, you cannot separate heat from the fire. You cannot separate the sun rays from the sun. If the rays are not there, you don't know the sun at all. If sun is there, the rays must be there. Just like that, inseparable power of God is there. She is called Kali. That is called Saguna Brahma. And when we go into Samadhi, Sri Ramakrishna, you all know, he went into 6 months of Nirvikal Samadhi. In the history of spiritual life, there is no record. Anybody went into 6 months long Nirvikalpa Samadhi. He went into 6 months long Nirvikalpa Samadhi. There he says, there is nothing was there. There is no existence other than only Brahman. The question does not arise at all. Where did the universe come from? Because you don't see the universe at all. You yourself are drowned in God. There is no ego at all in that Nirvikalpa Samadhi. The highest state of Samadhi, our ego itself is not there. If ego is not there, the question does not arise. Where did the universe come? When the question does not arise at all, you don't ask for where did this come, therefore you don't have to posit a Saguna Brahma. So Sri Ramakrishna says, when you are in Samadhi, it is only one. And that cannot be explained. What is that Samadhi? Can you not explain? You can't explain. Because who to explain? He gave the example. One salt doll said, I will go and measure the depth of the ocean. He just went and jumped into the sea. As soon as he entered in, it got dissolved. When it got dissolved, suddenly it got some knowledge of this ocean. Oh, ocean is just like me. I and ocean are one. So it must have expanded at least some 10 times or 20 times bigger size than as a doll, as a liquid. Can it come back and tell you? It has no form at all to come at. So it has an experience It cannot tell you. It doesn't, you cannot say it has not experienced. It has got an experience. It cannot be explained. Sri Ramakrishna compared this one to a person who is in the non-dual knowledge. He experiences it. We also experience it. When we go into Nirvikalpa Samadhi, we also experience. When we come out, we cannot tell what it is. First of all, we don't come out at all. And even if we come out, you can't explain. Even great Sri Ramakrishna, how many times in Gospel, he wants to tell about this Nirvikalpa Samadhi. He just says, no, somebody is obstructing my mouth. That means his senses are failing. His mind is boggling. He cannot tell something which cannot be expressed. But the experience is true. So there are facts like that, even in our life. A dumb man tastes honey. Oh, he shouts. What is that? He wants to express the joy. He cannot. So he is so happy. Experience is true, but his expression is not there. It cannot be expressed. In fact, even with all our senses, all right, suppose you go and hear M.S. Subbulakshmi's music. How did you like it? Oh, excellent. Can you please explain? You must hear. You cannot explain. You see, there are experiences. You can't explain. Music, joy. Joy, several types of joys are there. You can't explain, but you can experience. So Sri Ramakrishna said, Brahman is true and Brahma Shakti is equally true. I call both of them inseparable. If you accept Brahman as non-dual Brahman, you must also accept this Brahman from where this whole universe has come. This was a great riddle in all the philosophers of the world, especially in India. People said that ultimate reality is only this Saguna Brahma. And they all always quarrel with these Advaitins, these non-dualists, that they are all telling wrong things to you, that this world is illusion. Nowhere it is said this world is illusion. The world cannot be called as true. As true means that it must be eternally there. But we don't see the world. Before our eyes, so the world disappears, changes. Whatever changes must come to an end. Therefore, Sri Ramakrishna says, when we say that this world is an illusion, it is not the illusion, you see, it does not exist. You can't explain it. It is there as long as it lasts. When you yourself go into Samadhi, you will find that this world is not eternally existing thing. It is a manifestation of the Shakti of God. What is the Shakti? Inexplainable. So we are grappling with something which is beyond all language and all expression. Sri Ramakrishna also tries hard. So first of all, he comes to this conclusion, what we call as dualism, where God is there, jivas are there, individual souls are there, this universe is there, it is all true. This is a great principle Sri Ramakrishna again and again stressed, especially for the modern age. Because most of the philosophers were following Shankara, classical Advaita. Shankara's followers, Shankara himself, we don't think he would have said this world is like an illusion. His followers, most of them, they started telling this world is like a dream. It's like an illusion. If you say it is an illusion and a dream, then what about the struggles in life? What about the quest of knowledge? What about the quest of achievements? What about the even quest in the spiritual world? Sri Ramakrishna doing sadhanas and attaining to the highest samadhi, all that becomes an illusion. That is not a very desirable thing. It cannot be true. So it was going on for almost more than 1,000 years. Then it is Sri Ramakrishna, he said, as this world is as true as God is. If you accept the Nirguna Brahma, you have to accept Saguna Brahma. Saguna Brahma is Kali. The whole manifested universe is Mother herself. Everywhere, Mother is there. That is how Sri Ramakrishna's final realization was, God is true and this world also is true. It is a non-dual existence in this sense. Everything is one truth. This world also is true, God also is true. And you can see God through this world. One wonderful example in the life of Sri Ramakrishna is, he was meditating inside the mosquito net. Then he himself says, I just thought, what is it? If I close my eyes and meditate, then only God is there. If I open the eyes, he is not there. He said, damn it, let me come out of the mosquito net and see whether God is outside. When I opened my eyes and saw, I saw God everywhere. I saw everywhere God alone. Then he says, if you open the eyes also, only God is seen. If you close your eyes also, it's the same God. So God is everything. And then he went so deep into it. In the end, this is the greatest truth that he gave to Swami Vivekananda. Everything that exists is he. Tujhe se humne dil ko lagaya, jo kuch hai so tu hi hai. Ek tujhe ko apna paya, ek, he said, you are the only existence. You are there everywhere. So you sing, he told Narendra Nath. That is the real truth. Everywhere we must be able to see God with open eyes. To serve God, where do you go? There are people in front of you. Those that are in need, there may be old people, there may be children, there may be people afflicted with diseases or other discomfort. Or there may be good people also. Those who are ignorant, they want knowledge. Those that want knowledge, they secular knowledge, they want spiritual knowledge. Those people are in self-spiritual knowledge. They want higher and higher spiritual knowledge. There is always need. Serve man, serve man. By serving man, you worship God, he said. This great expression was given to Swami Vivekananda by Sri Ramakrishna. This is one of the universal religions that Sri Ramakrishna taught. He himself did not call it as a universal religion. Swamiji gave the name of serving God in man can be a universal religion. Some years back, I was in Mauritius. So, first time when I went, perhaps 1999, for the second time I was in Mauritius. Earlier, about 2-3 years back, I had been there. I had not seen there the thing that I saw in after 3 years. They showed me a huge lecture hall, auditorium, with 10,000 seats. In Mauritius, it is a small island. I said, how come 10,000 seats are there in this hall? And they said, sir, this hall is called Swami Vivekananda Hall for International Cultural Conferences. How come Ramakrishna, Vivekananda's name comes? Mauritius is not part of India. It's an independent republic. So how does it come? Vivekananda's name has come. So he took me there. When I went and saw, at the entrance, there is a bust of Swami Vivekananda. Below the bust, there is a inscription saying, to serve man, irrespective of caste or creed or color or race, can be a universal religion, Swami Vivekananda. It's a universal religion. Because man is none other than God. God is in the form of man. If you serve man, it is not service, it is worship of God. When we worship God, we never say, we have over-worshipped. You never say, oh, I worshipped 1.5 hours, I wasted my time extra. Never. You know worship of God always give you merit. Merit always brings you back again joy. So more the worship, more the joy. So when we think that worshipping, helping man is worship of God, we will never tire of worshipping, of helping man. Now we get tired. You people want here 2 days holiday, weekend. Our people also running behind it. When we were young, we were in the college, we had only one holiday on Sunday. We didn't have second holiday. Once in one Saturday in a month used to be declared as one holiday. That means all the other 3 days we worked. But now they're all running behind 2 days. Now they're thinking of 3 days weekend. What does that mean? We don't want to work. That means work has become a drudgery. Work is not giving you joy. When you think that every work that I do as a human being, my work will be only with human beings only. We are not going to serve the monkeys. We are not going to serve the tigers. We are serving human beings only. So in every human being, there, God is there. So if I go and teach in a college, I am worshipping God through my students. If I go to a hospital and give medicine, I am worshipping God through the patients. If this outlook comes, this universal religion of finding God in man, we will never tire of social work. Because it is no more work, it is worship. Worship is always welcome. Worship will take you to the highest realization. Swamiji said, This is the greatest message of Sri Ramakrishna. See God everywhere and serve man. Maybe that man may be inside our own family. Social work nowadays has a connotation. You must go to some club and then do some social work. You need not go. In your own sitting, feed your child, feed your grandson, feed your grandchildren, or serve your in-laws, serve your own elders, serve your brothers, sisters, with the idea, I am not serving men, I am serving God inside them. This outlook itself will give you that infinite energy. This is the energy behind our mission. You see the Ramakrishna mission carrying on huge relief works all around the year. Either in the south or in the north or in the west or in the east in India. Now we have gone out of India also to do relief work. We are never tired. We do, more enthusiasm we get. Whereas other people, they go with great enthusiasm to do social work. After 3 or 4 months, what are you doing? I have given up that social work. Why? What happened? Swami, they are so ungrateful. So we did for 3 months. They are criticizing us. You see, after three, he wanted to work, serve them with some selfish motive. He didn't go in the idea of serving them or worshipping them. He wanted something in return. Yeah, I will serve you. Then you will call me a great man or a very efficient man. Give me vote. I can get elected to the parliament. That is what the idea was. They did not oblige. So he gave up the social work itself. That is the root of all our trouble. When we become selfish, we look to ourselves, we don't look God. Whereas in this philosophy of work, that in every man, woman, child, God alone is there. Whatever you do for them, have this idea that you are worshipping God through them. Then you say, sir, then why did not our ancestors teach this? Ancestors did not have necessity at that time, but they have certainly taught you, go to the temple. Everyone must go to the temple and then stand before either Shivalinga or Salagrama or the image there and then think of God. You don't offer the fruits or sweets there to the stone. You think that God is there inside the stone. God is there inside the Shivalinga. God is there inside that image. So you think you are offering to God. When you come out, the joy that you feel is not that you have seen a beautiful statue there. Your joy is, I have served God. Whatever I have, I have given a good sweet, I have given him some good payasam or good fruits. You think you have offered it to God. If that can be done with an image, it has no life inside it. At least manifested life is not there. Sri Ramakrishna says, why not do it in the living image of man? How easy it is. If a lifeless image, if you can imagine God and derive all the joy and worship, why not do it with the living God? Swamiji took up this one. To everyone he taught, especially in the mission. You worship the living God. You will realize the highest through this one. With one example of his own disciple, I will close this talk. He is one of the great disciples of Swami Vivekananda was Nishchayananda. Nishchayananda. Nishchayananda was a young man who was in the army. He wanted to become a disciple of Swami Vivekananda. Vivekananda returned in 1897 to Madras. He was in service. So he wanted voluntary retirement. Somehow he managed voluntary retirement from army. So he went to Swami Vivekananda. Vivekananda said, come and meet me in Calcutta. This young man from Madras walked all the way 1,800 kilometers to Calcutta and met Swamiji there. So Swamiji said, you look here, Nishchayananda, we have become tamasic. We have become lethargic. That is why our nation is not able to rise. We must become awakened. How do you awaken? Serve, serve, serve. Don't receive. Go on giving. He said, sir, I have come to become a monk. So I will be almost like a beggar. How can I serve? Doesn't matter. If it is summer, you take a big pitcher of cold water, sit on the side of a road, at least serve some 10-15 passengers who are thirsty, give them 10 glasses of water, then let them drink. You start with this, you will know the joy of serving man as God. This Swami practiced. So So he went all the way from Calcutta to a hospital, small dispensary like that. A small rented hut. We had one small bed there. So we would carry the sick sadhus from Haridwar, bring them into that hut and serve them. And whatever little medicine we could get freely, we would give them. And some food, our swamis would beg, and part of that food they would eat, part of that they would feed the patient. This is our Kankal Sevashram. Sevashrama means hospital. Hospital where seva is done, service is done to human beings. So even today, our hospitals are not called hospital. It is called the place of service of God in man. So in that hut, they started serving. This Swami, he learnt a little of homeopathy. So with that homeopathic medicine, he would walk 15 miles, 20 miles on foot, find out whether anybody is there lying on the road requiring his help. He would carry him on his back, bring him to that hut and then serve him. So he went on, went on, went on. Later on, that hut developed into a dispensary, outdoor and indoor. Later on, now today, it is one of the best hospitals with 200 beds in Haridwar. All the government officials come to our hospital. Government hospital is there. But that spirit of service is not there. So they come to our hospital. So this Nishchayananda, this was started in somewhere in 1901. Swami Vivekananda was alive. Swami Kalyanananda was another disciple. And Nishchayananda was assisted. These two Swamis served the people who are sick without expecting anything in return, considering that God alone has come to them in the form of patient. So the hospital got such a name. Everybody would feel the feelings of the Swamis. They serve us as if, you know, we are gods. So everybody, every Swami would run there for getting service from them. And so this Nishchayananda had become old. So somewhere in 1930s or maybe the last part of 1920s, Master Mahashay M, recorder of Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, he went to Haridwar and he saw Nishchayananda, even at that old age, serving the patient with great devotion, morning till evening. Then Master Mahashay thought, Sri Ramakrishna came and asked all the Swamis to meditate on God, realize God, and then teach this knowledge of God to others. But this Swami, even in his old age, is serving these patients. So Master Mahashay was very simple also. And he was free with the Swamis. This Swami was a junior Swami, as far as he was concerned, relatively. So he told Nishchayananda directly, Nishchayananda, do you remember that Sri Ramakrishna said, the goal of life is to love God and realize Him. You are just engaged in the work from morning till evening. Should you not devote yourself to spiritual practices? Then Nishchayananda Swami, as he was listening to Master Mahashaya, he started shedding tears. And he became very silent. It was evening. He became very silent and tears flowed down his cheeks. He said, I don't know, Master Mahashaya. My guru told me to serve. So I am serving. I think I will realize the highest by this method itself. And then Master Mahashaya, after half an hour, he felt sorry that this Swami had shed tears. Perhaps I have done something wrong to him. Let me see him. When he went, this Nishchayananda is sitting in his room for meditation. He has lost himself in samadhi. He's completely absorbed in God. He has achieved the goal of life through the service itself. So this is Swami Vivekananda's message. This is the message of Sri Ramakrishna. Universal religion is to be realized and it should be very practical. Every one of us can do it. Sri Ramakrishna taught this one. See God everywhere. Serve man as a temple of God. It is not service, it is worship of God. So this is the message for the modern man. There are so many other teachings also. Our time is very short and Sri Ramakrishna is such an ocean. You get into one end, you get lost yourself. So today we could discuss one or two points. Let us hope by His grace we will get other opportunities where we can discuss more. Until then, goodbye. Thank you.